Welcome to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. This is Ralph Shaw.
Some people call them good time gals and other names to boot. They call them ladies of the night and women of ill repute. I repaired the broken knob on Darnella's chest of drawers. She seems too sweet and innocent to be one of the nighttime ladies. I'm the handyman at the Mustang Ranch and I don't know what they mean. When people laugh and joke about the things they think I've seen, I tell them that it's just a ranch where the cowgirls ride all day. The only difference is they ride inside to earn their pay. I'm a handyman, I'm a handyman, I'm a handy, handyman. Well, the girls must be religious, for I often catch them kneeling as I firmly thrust my plunger into toilets I am clearing. Their prayers divinely influence my special way with plumbing. My expertise with bidets has been called the second coming. I'm the handyman at the Mustang Ranch. I hear some funny things. That's not the AC breaking down, it's just some rusty springs. I've grown accustomed to the sounds that echo down the halls. When men shout out, oh yes, it means that someone tickle their big bald heads. I'm a handyman, I'm a handyman, I'm a handy, handyman.
My name is Ralph Shaw. I'm the king of the ukulele, and I am a singer, comedy entertainer. I do play the ukulele, but I like to entertain with my hilarious original songs and also new takes on old favorites.
The first question I have to ask you, having recently been to Hawaii, is you go with ukulele as opposed to ukulele, which is what they tell you it is over there.
Yeah, well, when that comes up, I say to people, well, what's the capital of Germany? And they say Berlin. I say, well, the Germans call it Berlin. So in English, we call it ukulele. I think either way is acceptable. I don't think it's worth making a fuss about.
So how did Ralph Shaw become such a student of the ukulele?
Right. Well, it all happened when I gave up on trying to be a physicist. I came to Vancouver with a degree in physics, and I had some idea that I was going to be a sound engineer, for the television industry. And I did an open mic one night. I was playing the 5-string banjo at the time, and I just heard the applause, and I thought, this is what I want to do. And not too long after that, I was in a vaudeville show over at Burnaby Village Museum, and I was singing a George Formby song with a... And the director said, you should do that on a ukulele, and I've got one to sell you. Well, I bought this little, cheap wooden ukulele from her for $15, and that changed my life, boy. Wow. I was walking around using, that was my Walkman. You know, they had Walkmans at the time. And I just loved the way the rhythm went and the chords changed, and couldn't believe that absolutely no one was playing, this instrument. So... I just kept developing it, and I became a clown who played ukulele. I carried a guitar case with the ukulele and all my other tricks in there, and then I got a really good ukulele from Hawaii, from Maui, and at that point, I realized that you could make really nice sounding music, when you have a good instrument, and so... I just kept developing this, playing the songs from the 20s, 30s, and 40s era. And then when I made my first CD, that I called it King of the Ukulele. And so it that became my name as well. I got interviewed on the CBC quite a lot around that time, and I've just taken it from there.
Each time I tried, I got a busy tone, but not my baby's number, just a brr-brr-brr busy line. I called her uncle in Jamaica, left a message with the baker, even checked her number in the telephone book. Then I got so awfully worried, to my baby's house I hurried. When I looked inside, the phone was off the hook. And as I went up to my baby, then I got my baby's number. She was busy in the parlor doing fine, busy kissing someone else, while I was keeping busy getting a prr 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 busy line.
So it was the five-string banjo that was your stepping stone to the ukulele.
Yeah, it was. That was my first stringed instrument. I've never played the guitar, which some people find surprising.
Now, in order to really appreciate the ukulele, you really have to be a student of history, don't you?
Well, for me, it kind of went a hand in hand, because I got this instrument, no one else was playing it, and I thought, well, what do I want to play on this, on it, you know? And I tried modern songs, and it just didn't sound good with the, you know, three and four chord songs. So I kept going further and further back. I kept remembering these songs from the Tin Pan Alley era, and then seeking them out at the library. You know, this was all pre-internet time, and just discovered that the ukulele went so well with this music. And you're right, you know, I didn't think of myself as a student, as you're calling me, but I learned a lot about the singers, the songwriters, you know, the performers, the history of that whole era, as well as you know, learning the songs themselves.
Very much a golden age of the ukulele, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it was, you know. In the 1920s, when the ukulele first took off, It was an instrument for the people. Like, you know, everybody was, you know, it was their way of having fun at parties. You know, my granddad had one. You know, I don't think he could ever play it very well, but it's what you did, you know. And it was a golden age. It's like music that you can take anywhere, and I think even in this modern age of portable music that you can listen to, I think people really like to have this self-made music that they can carry around with themselves.
Now, for people of my generation, my introduction to the ukulele was actually Tiny Tim, and I think we came to think of him as somewhat of a freak show novelty act. Certainly, he grabbed the media attention at the time. I didn't realize until some time later when I heard him interviewed after the craze had passed. That he was extremely well-spoken and knew the history to an incredible detail. He could pull songs out of anywhere, and all of these artists who I'd never heard of before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. You know, I write a newsletter because in recent years, more and more I've been people, you know, ukulele players dismiss Tiny Tim and actually really not say nice things. They say he did more to put people off the ukulele than any other factor. He put a whole generation off the instrument, and I think that's completely unfair, because you know, Tiny Tim, like you say, he was a media favorite, but that didn't happen by accident. He created this character with the name, the ukulele in the shopping bag. All of this was a creation that he made because he wanted to be famous, and it worked, you know. And he also had long hair, but it didn't stop people wearing long hair, you know. And you're absolutely right about his encyclopedic knowledge of the songs, the singers, you know, the pre-Bing Crosby crooners like Gene Austin and Rudy Valley, those people, Russ Colombo. I run this ukulele club in Vancouver. And at one of my gigs, I actually met Tiny Tim's former road manager. His name's Bruce Bissell, and I brought him into one of the club meetings just to talk about what it was like being with Tiny Tim. And my gosh, yeah, Tiny Tim had knowledge, like, even down to memorizing the numbers of the records, you know, the record label numbers.
Oh,
another year, or maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, you can confess. She feels neglected, and he's suspected of making whoopee. She sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone, he doesn't write. He says he's busy, but she says, is he? He's making whoopee. Well, he doesn't make much money, only 5,000 per. Some judge who thinks he's funny says you pay 6 to her. He says, but judge, what if I fail? The judge says, budge, right into jail. You'd better keep her, I think it's cheaper than making whoopee. Yeah, you better keep her, I know it's cheaper than making whoopee.
You're just recently back from Australia. You do a lot of touring.
Yeah, well, touring is something that I didn't used to do. I used to just do local gigs. But now my daughter is grown up. I've been enjoying just traveling off to different places. The United States and Australia are two of the main places. I like it a lot. You know, just go to festivals and ukulele clubs. Teach workshops and perform concerts.
Is it an underappreciated instrument? I mean, there's some people have suggested, as you said earlier, that Tiny Tim, hurt the image of what is a serious instrument.
Well, I don't know if it's that serious. Like, it can be played seriously, but I think part of its accessibility is that it is so non-threatening, and you don't have to play it well. You can just bash out the chords and have a good time singing and have a good laugh. On the other hand, when I was in Australia, there was a performer. He was playing, singer-songwriter with his guitar, and somebody from the audience said, "Play a song on ukulele." And he stopped. He said, "Oh yeah, the ukulele, the cane toad of the music world," which, it was kind of a bit insulting for the ukulele, but it was. I thought it was quite funny, because cane toads are an invasive species that have taken over, everywhere in Australia, and it does feel a bit like that, because especially there, that with the beach culture and everything, it seems like everyone's got a ukulele under their arm. And they're not always played well. It's the old definition. I think they've changed it now. In the Oxford Dictionary of Music, was the ukulele definition an instrument for people whose desire to perform exceeds their musical ability. and there is some truth to that, right? That's okay. It's for everybody. We can all do it to whatever level we want. So I just enjoy the fact that people are actually making their own music. I just think it's great.
Apparently, if you went and visited George Harrison and sat around after dinner, eventually the ukuleles came out. And he'd hand them out to everybody in the room.
Well, that there was an absolute phenomenon. And that he was a big favorite of the banjo ukulele and George Formby in particular, right? So when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about Hawaiian music. The ukulele had traveled so far across the world and was being used in British music hall, where it was in the hands of George Formby, who was Britain's highest paid entertainer in England for about 6 years. Not everyone knows about him now, but he was a massive star, which is pretty amazing for a ukulele player. And George Formby found his songs, the quirky comedy in the songs, so-called novelty songs, but you try writing one, they're hard to write, those things. He just loved it, the jaunty melodies, the rhythms, and the lyrics.
Every morn my memory strays.
across the sea where flying fishes play. And as the night is falling, I find that I'm recalling that blissful, all enthralling day. One, two, one, two, three, I found my love in Avalon, beside the bay. I left my love in Avalon and sailed away. I dream of her in Avalon from dusk till dawn. And so I think I'll travel on to Avalon. Me, close to my heart she pressed me upon that golden yesterday. I found my love in Avalon beside the bay. I left my love in Avalon and sailed away. I dream of her and Avalon from dusk till the dawn.
How many ukulele albums has Ralph Shaw put out now?
Let's see. The first one, King of the Ukulele. Then I did one called Table for Two. And then I did one called By George, which was all songs by George Formby, because I discovered that Americans understood the words when I sing them, whereas they have trouble with the original George Formby. And then most recently, I did two albums called Love and Laughter that were produced by Steve Dawson.
And both of those came out in, I believe, last year.
Yeah, last year or the year before. Fairly recently, anyway.
And what can you tell me about those two?
Well, love and laughter are the two main subjects that I like to sing about. So I think the love is fairly self-explanatory. They're not necessarily love songs, but songs on the theme of love. And so that's that. Then the other album is the Laughter album, so mostly original songs that take that type of songwriting that George Formby was famous for singing, and doing my own thing with that. And I really do think it's an underappreciated genre. And, you know, we talk about the ukulele making a comeback. Well, I think this kind of songwriting should make a comeback. You know, of course, quite frankly, you know, I get a little bored with a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. You know, I've done all the Tin Pan Alley stuff, and I've learned about songwriting. And you know, there's some really great stuff out there, but there's a lot of it. I go, oh, come on, entertain me. I want to be entertained. And so I gravitate towards writing these songs that are just going to make people laugh. And have discovered it's really hard to do. You know, some of these songs they take years to get just so, where you keep tweaking a verse here and verse there until you just got it. And then when you want to apply for awards, they don't really have any suitable section for me to go in. There isn't really a humor category for a lot of them, you know? Like, I'm not going to win male vocalist or album of the year, you know, with a comedy album, you know? So I really think there should be something in our society for that kind of songwriting.
Take me to the second of the two. Laughter, you were talking about. Are there particular tracks that are you're particularly fond of?
Oh, well, there's a couple. There's one called How to Build a Ukulele Case that I really like, because I'm, you know, I did make a ukulele case, and then I wrote a song with the instructions on how to do it. You know, it seemed like a fun idea, and then I've realized that this is like a human thing that goes back way into ancient history. You know, before things were written down, people had to memorize stuff, and they would do this in song. Like, I think the American Aborigines have a song about how to make a canoe. You know, there's a Peruvian song about how to make a water jug. You know, so this is an ancient idea. So that's one of my favorites.
Use corrugated card for the top and base, but the size should be of the non-corrugated kind. Use half-inch foam to pad your case. A sleeping mat from a camping shop is fine. The handles, clasps and hinges can be rescued from a knackered old doctor's bag, or makeup box, or satchel ready for the dump. And buy some paint of a suitable hue, and a great big bottle of carpenter's glue. It can be a lot of fun when you know what to do, using cardboard, canvas and carpenter's glue. You can do it by yourself, you can put it on a shelf, you can tell the neighbours, I did that myself. Begin by drawing round the thing you want inside the case. Add 1 inch around, then cut it out, and that will be the base. Do the same for the lid, then measure for the height. Add 1 inch, then cut the cardboard for the size. With a sharp, sharp knife, score the board on the bends. Then attach the sides to the base with sewing pins. Do the same for the lid, as what you just did. Doubling up the size to make a little lip. With hot glue you can hold the edges firmly in their place. Remove the pins, then smother glue on the top and sides and base of your case. Cover with cloth, thin canvas is best. Smear more glue and while it dries, ooh, have a rest. Well, whenever we have a rest, it's always nice to have a cup of tea. It's always better coming out of a brown teapot. Have you noticed that? I wonder why. 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 Go!
And there's another one. It's a little. A lot of the George Formby songs were, you know, a little bit risque. Well, there's this one song on the album called Bird Lover, which, you know, really, it's a funny song by itself. It's about a cat, you know. It says he loves birds, but he loves to eat them, you know. But it's a funny song on that level, but then there's a whole other rather rude and lewd level that only part of the audience gets. I think it's my sense of humour. There's something I really like about that song. You know, just the fact that only there's a bit of a nudge. Oh my gosh, what's he singing about? You know, for the people that get that. So
just dripping in double entendre.
You know what? I think that song is like a triple entendre song. You know, I think it's that good. You know, I really do like it.
You know, I don't get no respect. In fact, you might even say that I get head pecked. Pecking in the morning, pecking in the night. The way those chicks bob up and down, you know, it makes me feel alright, cause I'm a bird lover in my favorite bush. The way you've spread your wings, ooh, I'm getting a rush. And one more thing, before you fly south, I say, would it be okay to take you home in my mouth? Cause I'm a bird lover. knee using no kitty litter. I'm a jungle creature, if you know what I mean. Cause I get myself dirty and I lick myself clean. I'm a bird lover, yes, there's really no doubt. I'm gonna eat you up and then spit you out. One more thing, before we get through, I say, do you have any family to introduce me to? Cause I'm a bird lover, that's what I am. Just a bird lover. Time is it? Ooh, must be time for my nap. Yeah. Here I go.
If we go back to earlier albums, such as your King of the Ukulele,
that album, you know, even though it's my oldest one, it's still my bestseller because that's the song that people recognise the song titles. So they were just the favourites that popped into my head. I'd be, you know, walking or cycling, go, oh, I should do that song. It would be Blue Skies by Irving Berlin, or It's Only a Paper Moon by Harold Arlen, or Putting on the Ritz. Paddling Madeline Home, you know, Busy Line, Cheek to Cheek, right? You know, a lot of classics. And, yeah, they're just great songs. And here's the thing, you know, in those days they had such neat chord changes, such interesting chord changes. And the ukulele is a very, very simple sounding instrument, you know, just those four strings. So having that movement with all those chords really, really makes it.
Now, aside from the touring, you've got your ukulele entertainer newsletter, you've got the complete ukulele course on DVD, you've got you're part of this Vancouver ukulele circle, meets once a month in Vancouver. It sounds like you just live and breathe ukulele.
Wow, when you put it like that, it does sound like that, doesn't it? Well, a fella's got to make a living, you know, so you start off on this road as a professional ukulele player, and you've got to make it work somehow. And it's been a very interesting journey. You know, it's given me the opportunity, like you say, to write the newsletter, which is what became a book, you know. So, you know, I'm an author now, and then, you know, making those DVDs for people to learn to play. I sold thousands of those, you know, when they came out in the sort of mid-2000s. And then the Vancouver Ukulele Circle, my gosh, that is a real joy. We get between 100 and 150 people come to the St. James Hall once a month in Vancouver. And what a great sound it is to have everybody, you know, playing the songs together, and then they get up and have a chance to perform on stage. So, yeah, I do. It's funny, you know, you're saying I live and breathe ukulele. To me, it's just an instrument. You know, it's just a tool for entertaining. But you're right. It is I do use it a lot. It's a big part of my life. But I just love seeing the good that it does. You know, you get people that are in the 50s and 60s and 70s who never played an instrument, you know, pick up the ukulele and find that they are musical after all, and enjoying, you know, singing and playing music in the latter part of their life, and young people picking it up. There's just so much fun, just so much joy involved with it. And I knew this was possible when I was the only person in Vancouver, as far as I know, playing it. I could sense that this should be something that everyone's doing, you know. So I've been so glad to have sort of been a part of, spreading the news, as it were.
I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of.
Believe me,
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Is this your first stint at the Vancouver Island Music Fest, or have you been here before?
Nope, this is my first time. I was lucky enough to be performing on stage with Doug Cox at the North Country Fair last year, and so that's how he got to know me, because I believe Doug really likes to only hire people that is seen somewhere, you know. So it was good for him to see me in action there.
Now we've got the lineups are up on the Vancouver Island Music Fest website, and looks like you're going to be pretty busy. You're in concert on the Woodland stage on Saturday. You're doing all kinds of time in the barn on Saturday afternoon, first one Saturday morning, lessons learned from the masters on Sunday in the barn, and a workshop that sounds good, as they usually are on the Grierson stage, called Bourbon and Rosewater.
Urban and Rosewater?
Yes, I'm just looking forward to maybe that's a trip back into the 20s, 30s, and 40s that we're looking for. Oh. I can only guess, but it looks like we're going to have lots of opportunity to see you in action.
I love the way these artistic directors come up with these titles. You know, this isn't the first time I've got a title and gone, "Ooh, what's that? What am I supposed to do for that?" And they end up being so good. You know, they're very, very good concepts that allow the creativity to come out. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, won't you please shine down on me? Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, hiding behind that tree. We would like to be a thanking you for coming out so we could play with you. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, won't you please shine down on, please shine down on, please shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, won't you please shine down on me. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, hiding behind that tree. We would like to be a thanking you for coming out so we could play with you. Oh, Mr. Sun, Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, won't you please shine down on, please shine down on, please shine down on me.
Wonderful.
Bye for now then. Bye-bye.
Ralph Shaw, also known as the King of the Ukulele, on the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Shaw will start his music fest in concert on the Woodland stage Saturday morning before moving to the barn to take part in All Kinds of Time. Sunday will find him back in the barn taking part in Lessons Learned from the Masters, and then it's off to the Grierson stage for Bourbon and Rosewater Sunday afternoon. That wraps up another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Juno winner Helen Austin and Grandpa Todd Butler for taking us home yet again.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.